Thank you, Brendan and Kim. Appreciate that very much. One of the lessons of that is never tell your sister a song that makes you cry every time that she sings right before you want to preach. Got too many things going on at one time. Thank you. I want to talk about the rest of your life. If you're one of those that that song kind of speaks to, that you need to know God's goodness does not depend upon Him doing what you want Him to do. He is good no matter what happens. And we live in a world of burden and worry and hurry, so I want to speak to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Hope you'll turn to that. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you in the pews. You go to Matthew, you can take Malachi and take a right, or you go to Mark and take a left, and you'll be there. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We live in a very tense, uptight, and fast-paced world filled with hurry. Some years ago, there was a story in the Tahoma, Washington newspaper that carried the story of Tattoo the Basset Hound. Tattoo didn't intend to go for a run that morning, but when his owner set the dog's leash in the door and him outside, he really had no choice. They took off for a drive, and Tattoo was following behind as best he could. Kerry Filbert, a motorcycle officer, noticed a passing vehicle that looked like something dragging behind it, and he said that poor Basset Hound was picking him up and putting him down as fast as he could. He chased the car, put the car to a stop, and Tattoo was rescued, but not before Tattoo had reached speeds of up to 20 to 25 miles an hour, falling down and rolling over several times. Now, too many of us are living our lives like Tattoo. We're picking them up and we're putting them down just as fast as we can, and we're rolling around and feeling dragged through life. Back in the 1960s, expert testimony was given to a Senate subcommittee on time management. In the 1960s, these experts were predicting that advances in technology would change how many hours a week the people worked. And they forecast that the average American worker would be working only 22 hours a week within 20 years. The experts said the great challenge will be figuring out what to do with all of the excess time. That's been over 50 years since that testimony was given. I'm interested, how many of you wondered what to do with all the excess time that you've had this week? Recent studies have concluded that the average American worker has 36 hours of work on his or her desk. And compared with 50 years ago, we sleep 2.5 hours fewer hours per night, and we work 10 more hours per day. Our world has become the world of the Red Queen of Alice in Wonderland, who said, "Now, here you see it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place. And if you want to get somewhere else, you must run twice as fast." Many have discovered that the time we used to rest does not yield the rest that it used to. One study showed that the average, the weekends used to be for rest and restoration. One weekend shows that we spend 13 hours of one weekend day paying bills, cleaning house, doing take-home work, and just catching up. So many feel just as tired when it comes to Sunday night as they did on Friday night. In addition to all of this, we're dealing with the increasing stress of all of these hurricanes and shootings and hatred and threats of war. Mike Mercado, author and pastor, said in an editorial in USA Today this week, he said that the land of the stars and stripes had become the land of stress and strife. There seems to be a symptom of desperation in almost all that we do. And Jesus spoke to this issue in these verses. So I'm going to look at five aspects that Jesus tells us in this verse. First of all, he tells us we have something to do. Come to Jesus. Something to come to Jesus. What did Jesus tell them to do? He said, come to me. That is so simple. It's not coming to a church. It's not coming to a creed. It's not coming to a man. It's not coming to a denomination. It's not coming to an altar. It's not coming to a baptistry. It's not coming to a new way of living. It's coming to a person, Jesus. I once read the Christian Life is really summarized in three simple commands of Jesus. First, he said, come to me. Next, he says, follow me. And third, he says, abide with me. Now, that really summarizes the Christian Life. Ask a Muslim what they must do to go to paradise, and they'll tell you to observe the five pillars of Islam that includes praying five times a day and fasting 1 month every year during daylight hours. Ask an Orthodox Jew what you must do to be righteous, and he'll give you an extensive list of things to do. Don't prepare dairy and meat in the same kitchen. Don't push an elevator button on the Sabbath, and many other do's and don'ts. Ask a Hindu how to be reincarnated into a higher existence, and he'll tell you to make an offering to your household shrine three times a day. But for Christians, salvation isn't a program. It's not a performance. It is a person. Jesus didn't say, come to religion. He says, come to me. Come to me. Have you ever received an invitation to a party or to a wedding? It makes you feel good because someone thinks enough of you to invite you. And there's often those four letters, RSVP, on that invitation. It's an abbreviation to a French phrase I'm not even going to try to pronounce because I don't know how to pronounce it. And I don't think most of you know if I pronounce it right anyway, all right? But they say what it means is respond, please. So if you receive an invitation containing RSVP, it means you should let the host know of your intentions. That doesn't mean maybe or I'll try. It means say yes, I can come, or no, I can't. And when Jesus says, come to me, he suggests that our responsibility is to act on God's invitation. He has bestowed all this love and blessings on us, and we're to respond to come to him. Reuben Donnelly Corporation in Chicago was at one time, they were the largest printer of magazines in the United States. And they had this one huge machine that printed out these reminders that your subscription had expired. And one time, a tiny spring broke in that, and there was a rancher in Powder Bluff, Colorado, that received 9,734 notices that his subscription to National Geographic had expired. He said he rode the 10 miles to the post office and sent in the money. He said, I give up. Please send me the magazine. The Lord piles his blessings and his love toward us over and over again, inviting us to come. Jesus says, come to me. What is your response? Don't ignore it. Don't say maybe. Simply say, yes, Jesus, I'll come to you. Or, no thanks, Jesus. I think I can handle life by myself. He won't drag you to himself. He's a gentleman who simply offers his gracious invitation. Will you accept it? And we not only come to Jesus for salvation, but we come to him continually for life and peace and rest. I may be overstating the obvious here, but Jesus cannot help us if we don't turn to him. Come to me is the invitation Jesus extends to all of us. And when we come to him, we bring everything we have and we lay it at his feet. Our sin, our guilt, our shame, our problems, our burdens, our fears, our doubts, our dreams, our goals, our ambitions, everything. And we give it all to him. That's how we enter into Christian life. And that's how we maintain the Christian life. It's a never-ending process of coming to him and laying our cares and our concerns before him. Peter put it this way, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And David wrote, cast all your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. If you want rest, there's something you must do. Come to Jesus. Second, he tells us something to leave, our burdens. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now let me give you a little background. The people Jesus was talking to were trying to live up the whole list of expectations that were constantly reinforced by the religious leaders. They were burdened by a heavy load of responsibilities. And as a result, they were fatigued. They were exhausted. In fact, I find it interesting, the word burden was used to describe a boat that was about to sink. You ever felt that way? You ever wonder if you were going to stay afloat? The picture here is extreme weariness. You've gone as far as you can go. It's also a picture of extreme pressure. You're just about to explode. Jesus is willing to ease our burdens and is seeking a relationship with every one of us. His invitation still stands today. Come to me, all of you who are growing weary to the point of exhaustion. If you feel like you're going to sink, then come to me. I can help. Have you ever noticed how the problems and the burdens we face in life, they just seem to grow on one another? I mean, you don't get one. They just seem to multiply one on top of another. A lady was having a problem. She had a skunk in her cellar. So she called the police station and asked for help. She had an outside door to her cellar, so they recommended she open the outside door and put a trail of breadcrumbs from the cellar outside and made the skunk, and then she could close the door. Next day, she called them back, and she said, "Well, I did what you said, and now I have two skunks in my basement." I mean, that's what happens in life sometimes, right? Problems just tend to get bigger and bigger. Burdens get heavier and heavier. Most of us are carrying burdens that are often too great to bear. Some are struggling with the burden of guilt. You've committed sins in the past you haven't forgiven yourself for, and you don't believe God can forgive you either. Or maybe you're struggling with sin right now and you're trying to conquer it, but you can't. And it's become an unbearable burden. Some are struggling with the burden of religious expectations. You want to be a good Christian, but the demands just seem to be too much for you. And in a Christian life, there's a very high standard of expectation, a standard of holiness, and maybe it's become a burden to you. Some are struggling with a burden of a hectic schedule. I mean, there's so many things you want to do, so many things you need to do, so many things make demands on you. You have church responsibilities. You got meetings to go to. You got Bible studies to attend. You got family responsibilities. Time you need to be spending with your children. You got chores to do at home. You got obligations at work. You got deadlines to meet. Projects to complete. And everyone seems to be saying, "I need more from you. I need more, more, more." Some are struggling with the burden of failing relationships. Your marriage isn't working out the way it should. Your children are rebelling against your authority. Your friendships are becoming strained and difficult to maintain. There are other burdens we carry. Health problems, financial problems, emotional problems, and on and on. We live in a stressful, burdened time of life. Like, let's just take a group quiz and let's see how many can complete these statements. All right? Call the answers out loud. I'm at the end of my... Oh, this is a smart crowd. Man, I'm ready to throw in the... I'm a bundle of... My life is falling... I'm at my wits... Man, you guys are good. I'll tell you what. If you're struggling through life with some kind or many kinds of burdens, I want you to know something. Jesus is calling out to you. Especially, he's offering to help. But there's something you must do. Come to Jesus. There's something you must bring, your burdens, and give them to Jesus. Here's the third thing. There's something to take. That's the yoke of Jesus. Few of us have a cultural point of view in reference to understanding what a yoke is, because farmers seldom use animals anymore, but the yoke is pictured there was a type of harness that connected a pair of oxen. It allowed two oxen to pull a load together and harness the power of both beasts to the load that they were attempting to move. The word always means two. A single animal is in a harness. They're not a yoke. The word yoke, the idea of coupling two animals together. And they said sometimes when a young oxen needed to be trained, he would be attached to the yoke of an older oxen. And the older oxen would pull the yoke, and the younger oxen would follow his footsteps and learn the steps. It illustrates the Christian life. Jesus saying, when you walk with me, I pull the load so you don't have to. Therefore, yield to me. Let me do the demanding work. In that day, it was also used to submit to a teacher. So when we come to Jesus, we bring all that we have to Jesus. We surrender to His leadership. We bow to His authority. Back in the ancient days, when I was in high school, and we took driver's education, we had a car that we took driver's education that school owned, and the student would sit behind the wheel, and they had the gear shift, and you had the accelerator and the brake. And the driver's education teacher was on the passenger side, but he also had a brake, just in case. Now, we do that with Jesus. We get in control of our lives, but we keep a brake pedal, just in case. I want to give myself an out. I want an escape hatch on this yoke. And it doesn't work that way. We are to surrender to a person, and we're surrendering to a partnership. Jesus saying, get in the yoke with me. When Jesus says we're to get in the yoke with Him, it pictures three things. One is connection. Be with me. Yokes are made for two, not one. We were not meant to go through life living apart from God. His yoke fits well and is lighter than the one we've been pulling by ourselves. Be connected to Jesus. Second, it means direction. Follow me. The idea of a yoke pictures forward movement of two connected. You cannot be yoked to Jesus and go your own way anymore. We follow Him and we follow His direction for our life. Thirdly, it means cooperation. Work with me. To be yoked together means we cooperate with His work. Before we came to Him, we were living for this side of eternity. Now we're joined to His work. And we discover our lives make eternal impact. When you're yoked with Jesus, you go where He wants. And you do what He wants. You can't act how you want to act, when you want to act. You're tied down, and you're tied to. And I cannot think of a better person to be in partnership with than Jesus. When you're yoked with Jesus, you're yoked to someone who has pulled the load of life successfully. You're pulling with someone who has all the strength you need for any situation. You're pulling with someone who has all the wisdom you need for any situation. In a yoke, you always have a leader. You never walk alone. You never work alone. You never cry alone. You cannot fall and you cannot fail because He cannot fail. We'll only go in one direction, His. When we surrender to His person and to His partnership, the promise is we find His yoke is easy and His burden is light. We're to come to Him and be yoked with Him and find rest. We find His burden light. Here's the fourth thing we find. There's something to find. Rest for your soul. When we come to Jesus, the promise He gives us is rest, quietness, calmness, peace, refreshment. We're given the rest of salvation, the rest of the conscience by forgiveness. Rest to the mind as the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Rest to our heart as we know He loves us and He fills our heart. Rest to the apprehension as He assures us that all things work together for good. And then He says we're to take His yoke upon us and learn from Him. The promise is that we find rest. Webster's Dictionary gives the idea of rest as sleep, minimal function and metabolic activity, freedom from activity or labor, a state of motionlessness. But that's not the idea here. Jesus never promised us an easy life. He never promised us a life without difficulties. All you have to do is take a glimpse at the ease of Jesus' life or the life of the apostles to see that sometimes following Jesus can lead you down a difficult path. But He did promise us a good life, and He promised us peace in the midst of the storm. He said in John 16:33, I told you these things so that in me you might have trouble, you might have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus offers you rest. He's speaking of an emotional, spiritual rest. He's not talking about sitting down, putting your feet up. He wants to lift your burdens. He wants to replace your burdens with an even a lasting joy. He wants to give you what you've been yearning for your entire life. As David said in Psalm 62:1, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. And then fifthly and finally, there's something to learn. Surrender to Jesus makes life easier. Surrender to Jesus makes life easier. He said, come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The Christian life is a lifelong learning process. It doesn't happen instantly. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process we grow into. So I ask you, what have you learned from him this week? When we come and take up his yoke, the process of learning begins. We learn to look at his example, and we find he's gentle and he's humble. He treats us tenderly, completely yielded to the Father's will. I have two children, both young adults today, and both very adept at walking. But it wasn't always that way when they were toddlers. Learning to walk was a process that took months to develop. And there were many falls and failures along the way. Sometimes they fell on their bottom. Sometimes they fell on their hands. Sometimes they fell on their nose. But they learned to walk because they had parents who were more than eager to teach them. And in the same way, Jesus is more than eager to teach you to learn to walk in the Christian life. He says, learn from me. How do you do that? You read his word. You listen to sermons. You spend time with him. You spend time with his people. Jesus said, learn from me. Because living the Christian life is a learning process. The good news is that we have the greatest teacher who ever lived. And he's gentle. And he's patient with us along the way. And if you want to release your burdens, then decide today to become his student. Learn from him. Heard a story some years ago. There was a severe hurricane along the coast of Massachusetts. Radio reports were ominous. The small town this family lived in was right in its path. The sky grew dark. The wind grew fierce. The rain was heavy. And Blair, their young son, was restless. Suddenly the lights went out. And in the darkness, his mother heard his sobs. And trying to calm his fears, she said, you might just as well calm down. There's nothing we can do about it. Between sobs, he said, mother, I know there's nothing we can do about it. But isn't there something we can do about us? Isn't there something we can do about us? Yes, there is something we can do about us. There's something to do. Come to Jesus. There's something to leave your burdens. There's something to take the yoke of Jesus. There's something to find rest for your souls. And there's something to learn. Surrender to Jesus makes life easier. Remember that song that we learned as children? Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak. But he is strong. Don't carry that load by yourself. Come to Jesus. Take the yoke of Jesus by surrendering to him. Learn from him. You'll find rest for your soul. Give them all to Jesus. Your shattered dreams, your wounded heart, your broken toys. He'll turn your sorrows into joy. And you'll find the rest of your life. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that we are weak, but you are strong. And Father, we acknowledge that today. So Father, we give you thanks. And Father, we ask today that with all of the hurry and the burden and the stress of today, may we just come to you. May we just come to you and take our burdens to you and lay them out at your feet. Say, we're weak, but you're strong. And get in the yoke with you, surrendering to you, and we'll find rest. Help us today to do that. In your name we ask it. In your name we pray. Amen.